We're doing Parashat Vayechi, Mem Marom, Rav Chalap, and our topic is the unification of the 12 tribes with Yosef. Yesh Lavin, we have to understand Peulotav Shel Yaakov Lifnei Ptirato, Yaakov's actions before passing. Odot Ephraim U'Menashe, what Yaakov did with Ephraim and Menashe to create them as two tribes. V'chen Ma She'omer, and also what the verse tells us, Ma'ishtachu Yisrael al Rosh Amita, that Yaakov bowed towards the head of his bed. Lefi Adavar Acher Sheberashi, Rashi brings an alternate interpretation, that Rashi quotes the Medrash, that Yaakov bowed to the concept that his bed was whole, there was no wicked one among his children, because look at Yosef, he's had this terrible test of being a king, and he was captured among the nations, and he's still righteous, so Yaakov felt, if Yosef stood up to the test, then all my kids are okay. And the question here is, why is he thanking Hashem for this just before he dies? What's he saying in his blessing to Yosef? He says, my father's blessing, your father's blessing is greater than my father's blessing, and you, Yosef, should get all of them. Meaning, Yaakov is blessing with his father's blessing and his own blessing. Shouldn't he have given that type of blessing to all his kids? Not only Yosef? And why do we find that after Yaakov passed away, Yosef doesn't have the brothers over in his own house? They don't eat meals together. He takes care of them, but not at his own house. And the brothers come and tell him, we're ready to be your servants. What's going on there? So there are a lot of aspects to this parasha that we have to understand what's really going on. So he says, in order to understand what's going on, we have to understand the secret behind the sale of Yosef and why the brothers hated him. What was their intention in this? They were holy tribes. So Yosef represents the balance or the medium or the average between Yaakov and his sons. The funnel between Yaakov and his sons was Yosef. Yosef was the connector. Yaakov has a lot of Torah to teach. His other children don't understand it as well as Yosef. And then Yosef can teach them. So Yosef represented that connection. You want to connect to Dad? You don't understand the depths of what he's saying? Yosef is the connector. The brothers are out shepherding the sheep. Yaakov wants to make sure it's done right. Yosef goes to check. Our sages say Yaakov never passed away. That's what the Talmud in Tractate Tanis says. The Talmud right away says he was mummified. What does that mean? He didn't die. They mourned over him. They buried him. What does that mean? So the idea here is, ordinarily, we find a son is on a lower level than the father. And that's why when a father dies, he's dead. Because his son is going to be his son, but he's going to be something else. He's not going to be the father. But Yaakov, even though none of the children were on the level of Yaakov, we say Yaakov was one of the patriarchs. None of the children are patriarchs. You know, we have three patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So none of the children were on Yaakov's level, but the 12 together, they were like Yaakov. The tribes as a whole are like Yaakov. So there's a continuation. Yaakov didn't die. When a father dies, it means whatever he had to accomplish, he doesn't have anything that lives up to him in the world. But Yaakov did have. Yaakov's 12 sons equaled Yaakov. And that's why they had to be a unified 12. You couldn't lose one. That's what Yaakov said. If I lost Yosef, then I'm dead. Then I'm dead. Then I do not have that continuum I should have had. And when Yaakov sees that his bed is complete, so to speak, the tribes are complete, so then Yaakov realizes, I'm not dying, in the sense that there's a continuum. If you lose one, then you've lost Yaakov. Yosef, technically, shouldn't have been one of the 12. He was above them. He, we said, was the root. He was the connector to them. And we find that later on, in the days of Boaz, even Leah's children said to Boaz, when they blessed Boaz, who was a descendant of Leah, and they are all descendants of Leah, they bless him and they say, your house should be like the house of Rachel and Leah. They say Rachel first. She wasn't their great-grandmother. They realized that the essence of Yaakov was through Rachel. And they realized that without Yosef, there wouldn't be anything. And that's why it was necessary that Yosef would be there to complete the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes saw that the descendants of Yosef would ultimately be Yeravam and Achav and Yehu, that would ultimately cause the Jewish people to be divided into two tribes. That would cause the 12 tribes to divide into two kingdoms. And even though we're all supposed to be unified under one flag under David HaMelech, but Yosef's descendants would lead that divide. We're all supposed to be united with Hashem, and Yosef's descendants would lead us to paganism. We find that Yosef's descendants, Yeravam ben Nevat, led the Jewish people, as I alluded to earlier in our learning of the Ran. He invented a new calendar, he changed the calendar, he added a month to the calendar, and he prohibited the Jews from ascending to the temple on the holidays. And by so doing, Yosef's descendants, with all the strength of Yosef, we said Yeravam ben Nevat was more pious than David HaMelech. He could have been greater than David HaMelech. But Yeravam ben Nevat used those strengths in the wrong direction and misguided the Jewish people till ultimately we were exiled. The 10 tribes, many were murdered. They were scattered. They intermarried. The greatest Holocaust of Jewish history came from that strength of Yosef. And the brothers saw that in Yosef. They saw where those strengths would head. As great as Yosef is, so too there is great potential for destruction with that greatness. And that's why Yosef's descendants, Menashe and Ephraim, are not part of the 12 tribes. And when they're their own entity. We bless our children, may you be like Ephraim and Menashe. We don't say you should be like Reuven, Shimon, Levi, right? The brothers sensed that Yosef's strengths would lead to exile, to destruction, to divisiveness. The brothers had a leader. He was called Yehuda. Everyone agreed on him. And Yosef comes along and he says, I'm the channel. He was. Yosef comes along and he says, I'm going to sustain all of you. He did. Everything Yosef prophesied came true. But the brothers sensed within that the potential for the greatest divide, which ultimately also happened. Meaning the brothers sensed where those strengths could lead to.
So then where did the jealousy come into play?
Wait. Yehuda sensed, who saves Yosef? Yehuda. Yehuda says, don't kill him. We don't gain anything from killing him. He sensed that Yosef is not one of them. In the sense that he's in his own realm. And if Yosef is separate from them, then Yosef will be able to save the world. Yosef has the potential to be that great, but not as one of them. And Yosef represents the idea that you have to work from behind the scenes. You have to work in a hidden way in order to attain things, in order to achieve. Yosef works in a hidden way to tell his father what's really going on. Yosef works in a hidden way, revealing dreams. Yosef works in the hidden way that he's the second in command under Pharaoh, but really he saves the world. He's always number two. He's always working behind the scenes. And that's what Yehuda sensed. Yehuda said his greatness will come when he can work from behind the scenes. He's not meant to be the king. He's meant to be the one who works behind the scenes. Technically, had Yeravam ben Nevat done what he should have done, he would have played a supportive role. Had Yeravam ben Nevat done what he should have done, he should have been just like Yosef, led the nation to greatness and been second under. But his pride got in his way, and he said, I can't be number two. He said, no, I want to be number one. Our sages say, God appeared to Yeravam ben Nevat in a dream and asked him, do tshuva, come back, and I and you and David will walk in the Garden of Eden. And what does Yeravam ben Nevat ask? Who's first? me or David? And when Hashem says David is first, he says, no, I don't want that. I'll lead the people on my own without Ribon Shel Olam. Yosef needs to work in hiding, but not complete hiding. Yosef sustains the world, and if Yosef is completely gone, then there's nothing. Yoshua and Gidon are the two leaders that are descendants of Yosef. They bring blessing. Yoshua is compared to the moon. Things are less overt than Moshe Rabbeinu. He's reflecting Moshe's light. Gidon has the great victory, and then they want to point him as king, and he says, no, not me, God. I'm not your king. The people say, but you just had this great salvation with 300 soldiers. You took down an army of over a quarter of a million people. Not me. And in the future, Mashiach ben Yosef is also contingent on the tribes recognizing that their funnel, their pipe, so to speak, their connectors through Yosef. The recognition that just like Rachel was the essence of the house in her modest, quiet way, so too is Yosef. And then Yosef, his colors get revealed and he prospers. And then he becomes both leader and member of the tribes. And what? He's saying that's what will happen in the days of Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted. When he made Yosef a special coat, that was a sign, I'm giving you all the wisdom, all the Torah, and you're supposed to have a special role. Yosef has dreams, everyone's bowing to me, even my father and my mother, he dreams the sun and the moon, even mom and dad are bowing to me, because he recognizes that he has a role in the world to be supportive to everyone, including his own parents, which is what he was ultimately. He did support his own parents. The brothers did not want Yosef to be the one feeding them. And when the brothers sold Yosef, they said, we're not interested. But when they said we're not interested, they were doing away with all the good that Yosef brought them too. Because at the end of the day, they did not understand the depths of what their father was teaching them. And through Yosef, they could. When they did away with Yosef, they were doing away with every aspect of Yosef. When we go into exile, we go into exile over small things. Destruction and exile comes when you focus on little things and they matter to you. Are you going to invite Kamtsa or Bar Kamtsa? Do I like you or don't I like you? Are you going to be a member at my event or not? Did he invite me? Didn't he invite me? Little things. The focus on little things, allowing little things to pile up, and suddenly they look like big things. 22 years, Yosef's far away, they're free. Yosef's not breathing down their back. Yaakov doesn't attain the truth. Yaakov can't connect to true prophecy when Yosef is gone. And so this whole period of being free from Yosef is a period where the whole house is in mourning and the whole house is not where it should be. So you're free, great, you're free for what? People say, I'll go to Chutz La'aretz, there's this huge temptation, let me go make money in Chutz La'aretz. But what are you making money for? For a house that's what? For children that can't read Torah. Children who don't speak Hebrew are not going to be able to grow in Torah. What are you building with all that money? Empty mansions, for what? So there's a temptation, you know, land flowing with filth and money, they say. But what are you going to do with that? So the brothers have this period of freedom from Yosef, but it's freedom for a house that's not worth living in. The house is not where it should be. Yaakov wants to fix that before he passes away. And he wants to tell them, that's what our sages say, he wanted to reveal to the brothers what's going to happen at the end of time. He wanted them to understand the path Am Yisrael has to go through, and that's why he says, Yosef, you should know, is the top. And Yosef is separate from the rest of you. Nizir Echav. Yosef is supposed to be separate. And his sons Menashe and Ephraim, they're going to be blessed like two of the tribes. V'yidgu l'arov bekerev haaretz. They will multiply, they will flourish. This idea of Yaakov having a whole bed is a whole bed where the brothers recognize Yosef's job. Meaning the brothers were in denial. We don't want him above us. Yaakov says in order for us to have completion in the family, there has to be a recognition that he is. He's got a different role. He calls Yosef and he tells Yosef, I want to be buried next to Avram and Yitzchak. He says, if Yosef really does this, that's a sign that Yosef is still holy. All this time, I don't know, has Yosef lost his stature or not? I know he's king, I know he's got a big job, but where is he? Does he realize the importance of holiness? Does he realize? Yaakov doesn't know what went on all that time. Yaakov says, if Yosef says, I have to connect to my roots, my dad wanted to be buried in Israel, I'm going to do everything, I'm going to bring him there. That's going to show me that Yosef is really still connected to holiness. He's still where he should be.
There's nothing else in the 17 years that Yaakov was down in Egypt that could have indicated to him where Yosef is standing?
Chazal say Yosef kept the distance. Yosef purposely kept the distance for the remainder of Yaakov's life. He did. He never wanted to enter the discussion of what happened in those 22 years. When Yosef says, I'll do as you said, and Yaakov says, promise me, and he does promise him, so Yosef is showing that he is completely confident. There's an element of bitachon. There's an element that he recognizes the importance. He's willing to promise. And when Yaakov sees that, Yaakov feels confident that Yosef is where he should be. Yosef is willing to take the responsibility. It's important for him. Now, if we think about it was a big deal. He had to take a whole army with him. And they actually had wars en route. He understands the importance. He understands the concept that there's something holy. He connects to the idea, the land of Israel, bringing my father there. Burying him there, it's important to my father, it's important to me, and I can be confident I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the responsibility, I promise, Yosef says. So, once Yaakov hears that from Yosef, that Yosef is where he should be, then Yaakov says, now let me ordain your children, they should be like Reuven and Shimon. He looks at them, and he senses within them the future of Yeravam, Achav, Yehu. There's going to be destruction, divisiveness, paganism from those great leaders, from that great strength is going to come terrible things. And that's why it says Yaakov lost the heavenly presence, and he asks Yosef, who are these kids? Right? Yaakov says, I want to bless them. Yosef brings them. Then Yaakov says, and who are these? Our sages say, he's asking him, where does this come from? I just checked you and you were up to par and your kids. Why do I sense that in them? Yaakov is telling Yosef, you got to work on their education. You have to uplift them. You can't let them be where they are now. And that's where Yaakov starts praying and the Ruach HaKodesh returns and he continues blessing them. Our sages say that Yosef's work, after his father tells him, you have to work on that, that's what bore the fruits of Yoshua and Gidon and Mashiach ben Yosef. He didn't uproot the Yehu and Yeravam and Achav, but he did cause that greatness would still come from them, the Gidon, Yoshua, and Mashiach ben Yosef. And that's what Yaakov, when he sees Yosef, understands his task in this. He says, bring them to me, I want to bless them. And he takes them, they're 17 years old. We proved in class they weren't young, right? They're more than 17, they're over 20. But he takes them on his arms. In other words, he takes them close and blesses them, and he says, my fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, their name should be on you. You should be worthy of being a continuation of the patriarchs. He tells Yosef, I know, my son, I know. He too, Menashe, will also be a nation. He'll also grow, but the younger brother will be greater. he uplifted them until he brought them to a point where they will be a source of blessing for Israel as we bless our children. Yaakov said, Israel will bless their children. You should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. You too should be sources of blessing for Israel. When he blesses Yosef, he says to him, your father's blessings are greater than my father's blessings. He says, the blessings that I'm giving you can't come to Israel unless they come through you. And that's why he blesses Yosef, that he should remain Nezir Echav, lifted above his brothers, so that the blessings that he receives will be blessings for everyone. When Yaakov passes away, the brothers have to recognize that Yosef, even though he's one of the 12 tribes, he's higher than them. He is the source of sustenance for all of them. His dreams did come true. Remember, we discussed previous weeks that Yehuda represents that connection to the spiritual, and Yosef represents the leadership in the physical realm. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David has to rebuild the temple. Mashiach ben Yosef has to lead to victories at war. Mashiach ben Yosef will die during those victories at war. But Mashiach ben Yosef represents the leadership in the physical realm. Mashiach ben David represents the leadership in the spiritual realm. When Yaakov passes away, the brothers have to realize we need Yosef, and he does have a task in the physical realm. Remember, a king has both responsibilities. He's responsible for the physical and the spiritual. So long as Yaakov was alive, Yosef behaved in subservience to his father. So it wasn't so important that the brothers recognize his role. But now Yaakov's dead. Who's the leader of the family in Egypt? So long as Am Yisrael recognized Yosef as their leaders, as their leader, the Egyptian kings also recognized Yosef. When the verse says Yosef passed away and the generation passed away and the new king arose who did not recognize Yosef, who started making the Jews work, the pasuk is telling us the first to forget Yosef were the Jews. The Jews ignored Yosef's role. The Jews put down Yosef's family. The Jews said Yosef is no longer our leader. And very quickly afterwards, the Egyptians said, what do we owe the Jews and Yosef?
What?
The Egyptian. How did an Egyptian king come and put the Jews into slavery? Because he said, I don't remember Yosef. Rav Chalap is saying, who was the first to forget Yosef? It was us. Yeah. We didn't want Yosef on top, just like the brothers didn't.
It took time.
But
does that mean that the descendants of Yosef were the sort of declared leaders of the Jewish
in people? They should have been. It says that when Yaakov passed away, so Yosef's brothers were no longer invited to eat at his table every meal. Yosef did that on purpose. He said their future here is only going to work if they recognize my role. If they recognize my job, I'm here for them, but I'm here for them as a king. If they recognize that, they will last. And so Yosef purposely creates distance after Yaakov passes away. He says, so long as Yaakov was alive, we all lay together as brothers. We were all under Yaakov. Now that Yaakov's dead, in Egypt, I'm the leader. And so they're not eating with me at the same table. And the brothers recognize that. And that's why after Yaakov passes away, they come to him and say, we're your servants. We admit, you're the leader. And in the future, it's going to be the same way. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to pave the way for the kingdom of Israel to return. Ultimately, internally, he is Nezir Echav. He is above his brothers. But who's going to be the king above it all? Who's the Eshet Chayla Teret Baala? Who's going to be the Malkam Aleihem, the king over everyone? It's supposed to be David. The idea that Yehuda and Yosef are not really in conflict. Yosef has to work behind the scenes. He has to work for the physical. And he succeeds. And Yehuda is supposed to work to uplift us in the spiritual. And he's supposed to be our revealed king. Whereas Yosef works behind the scenes, so to speak. Second in command, he's working different, like Yosef worked in Egypt. He's supposed to work for that sustenance. That balance is yet to come. That balance in Egypt, we don't see it. Maybe Yehuda led them spiritually while Yosef led them materialistically. The story ends with the brothers recognizing Yosef's leadership. So that's, in a nutshell, what Rav Harlap writes on this concept. The unification of the tribes with Yosef involved their willingness to recognize him as a funnel, as a connector, and that's a concept they denied earlier when he was young. Yehuda recognized that Yosef was of intrinsic value. He wouldn't let them kill him. On the other hand, Yehuda felt Yosef has to sustain the world. He doesn't need us, but he needs to do things in a more hidden way. And ultimately, when Yaakov comes to pass away, he declares Yosef is Nizir Echav. So long as the brothers recognize him as their leader, the Egyptians recognize him as the leader. The second they deny him and his family that role, they forget that. That's when the Jews start going down and the Egyptians ultimately put them in servitude.